Well, our scripture reading for today is from the 11th chapter of the New Testament book of Acts. And today we'll be reading verses 19 through 26, and we'll be looking at that from the New International Version, where we read this. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad, and he encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians, first at Antioch. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord God, we ask for you to speak to us through these words of faith and through the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, one of the things that you learn pretty early on as a pastor is that sometimes being a pastor is very similar to being the starting quarterback for an NFL football team. You learn that there are always critics. There are always people in the stands who second-guess you and who know much more about football, even though they've never played the game. And even if you win the game and have an undefeated season, these Monday morning or armchair quarterbacks always find something to complain about. I don't know if you ever do this, but sometimes when I'm reading an article online in the newspaper, I'll go to the comment section. Any of you ever do that? And you read what people say, and are you like, are you kidding me? It's amazing how critical and toxic people can be. And it just seems lately in our society, we've become much more focused on putting people down than lifting people up. And while I have to say I'm very thankful that I have been getting far more letters and emails of encouragement than negative ones lately, there is one letter that I'd like to share with you. And this one comes from a church member who works at Driver's Village, and I just want to read it to you. Dear Mark, congratulations on your near hole-in-one at a recent golf tournament. Having seen you golf, it's quite astonishing that you were able to come so close to this remarkable achievement. I suspect a polling of your golf colleagues would reveal that it was the first time you reached the green in regulation all day. But I digress. While it isn't quite the same as winning a brand new Buick, please accept the enclosed golf gift with our compliments. It's likely that you seldom use a ball mark repair tool, so please ask other golfers how to use it, as I'm sure you are unaware. Again, congratulations on almost winning that new Buick for Kathleen. I'm sure she still lives with the memories of your Aztec. Isn't that wonderful? Sincerely, and the name is withheld to protect the guilty. I have to admit there's some truth to that letter. But instead of writing some encouraging words like, wow, Mark, you were only 18 inches away from winning that new car. Wow, Mark, you really must have improved. Next year, baby, I get this letter dissing my golf game. And I know it was written in great fun, and it was, and it made me smile. It brought a big smile to my face, and I do use that ball repair tool. But today, what I want you to focus on is the power of the positive, the power of encouragement, the power of lifting other people up and cheering other people on. And especially on this Father's Day weekend, what I hope we will all see is the importance of dads and stepdads and granddads being encouragers of your children and of the children and youth you have the ability to influence. Maybe it's a grandson or a granddaughter. Maybe it's a niece or a nephew, a neighbor or a friend that you can lift up and offer words of and acts of encouragement. It can be a game changer, especially in young lives. Well, our scripture reading for today comes from the character of the name Barnabas. Barnabas is not all that well known, but he actually played an important role in the establishment of the early Christian church. He's mentioned 24 times in the book of Acts and three other of the apostles Paul's letters. And as we first read about him in the book of Acts, we learn that his name wasn't originally Barnabas, but it was Joseph. The apostles renamed him Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, and that gives us a little clue about the role that Barnabas played. In the ninth chapter of Acts, Barnabas comes to the aid of the apostle Paul. Before Paul's dramatic encounter with the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, Paul, then called Saul, had persecuted Christians who had just been converted. But after his encounter with Christ, his life dramatically changed, and he begins to share the good news of the gospel in powerful ways. But the Jews thought of him as a traitor and were out to kill him. For his own protection, Paul needed to go into hiding, but the Christians don't want to risk taking him in because they remember how zealously Saul had persecuted Christians, and their fear is that his conversion was one more trick in order to find more Christians and send them to death. Enter Barnabas. He personally takes Paul to the apostles and vouches for his sincerity. Barnabas opens the door for Paul to be welcomed by the church and to be prepared for the dramatic role that he would play in the spread of Christianity. If it hadn't been for Barnabas, Paul might have remained caught between the Jews and the new Christian converts and never had the opportunity to become the greatest missionary in the history of Christianity. And all of this happened because Barnabas was willing to take a chance on someone. He was able to see the best in a man when others only saw the worst or had great suspicion. Now, some scholars believe that Barnabas was actually that rich young man that wanted to follow Jesus. You remember the one where Jesus said, "Go sell your possessions and give them to the poor and then come follow me." And in Matthew 19, it says that he went away what? He went away sad. And maybe it was just that sandpapery challenge that came from Jesus that turned Joseph into Barnabas. That those words of challenge from Jesus played a part in changing Joseph's way of thinking from being all about himself and all about his possessions to being an encourager and a blesser of others. Now, we do know that Barnabas was very well off financially, and that he used these resources to bankroll many of Paul's missionary journeys. And I don't think, I'd like to think that these scholars are correct. That Jesus challenges Joseph. Joseph goes away sad because he's more tied to his possessions than following Jesus. He goes away sad, but then he thinks about it. And he maybe prays about it. And his attitude starts to change, and he turns from being that self-centered Joseph to being that encourager Barnabas, champion of lifting other people up and using his resources to spread the good news of Jesus. And I just kept thinking, wouldn't that be so cool if that's actually how it happened? Regardless, Barnabas helps us to see just what a powerful force encouragement is in the lives of other people. Now I want to switch gears for a moment, and I want to pause, and I want to have you think about the people in your life. People who have played that role of encourager in your life. People who bought stock in you when other people were selling. People who saw something in you and bothered to invest in you and to challenge you and to encourage you and give of themselves to you to lift you up. Are there some people who come to mind? Maybe write them down in your bulletin or make a mental note. What can you learn from them? How can you pay forward what they passed on to you? For me, there are many names that come to mind, and a number of them belong to this church. Some of you may remember there was a woman by the name of Ruth Sager. She passed away several years ago. And when I first came here, it wasn't easy, and she would send me little notes, and I remember she'd sit right over there, and she'd pull me aside after service, and she'd say, "Mark, you got this." And that meant a lot to me. There's a guy many of you probably know. His name is Bill Porter. Bill comes to the 5:30 service. He works a lot with the Presbyterian churches in the area, so he kind of understands the challenges that pastors face. And I have to tell you, every time that I spend time with him, I just feel so uplifted and encouraged. He has that gift. What an amazing gift. And then there's Mary Jean Gardner. She's not here today, is she? She's just an incredible person who has this ability to encourage people. And I think back to my high school track coach, Norm Badar, and my basketball coach, Bill Troskin, and our band director, Ron Schaup, who played that role so much in my life during those really important years. And I remember each of them chewed me out quite often. But it was because they believed in me and knew I could do better. And when I did, they were the first to come and give me a hug and say, "I knew you could do it. I knew you could do it." You know, one of my favorite movies of all times is Mr. Holland's Opus. How many of you have seen it? Most of us. I mean, it's an incredible movie about this band director who dreamed of writing this great opus. But there were bills to be paid and kids to raise, instead of writing his opus, he poured himself into his students, and his students became his opus. I was fortunate to have a band director who was very much like that, Mr. Schaup, who was kind of like my Mr. Holland. And I know he played that role in the lives of so many others, so many of my friends. And I think that's what Jesus meant when he said, "Store up your riches in heaven, where moths cannot eat or rust destroy." Because when you make a positive investment in people, you are making an impact that will live on, and many times for generations. Being a blessing to others, being a son of encouragement will live on long after you're gone. Being a son of encouragement lives on in the lives that you bless. It's a treasure in what God cares about most, and that's his children. Barnabas knew the importance of the gift of encouragement. He didn't need to be in the spotlight or get credit for what he did. God used him to pour himself into the lives of others, and through him, God impacted the lives of billions of people for the last 2,000 years, including you and me, were benefits of Barnabas' gift of encouragement. He looked for the best in people, not the worst. He looked to encourage, not to discourage. He looked to lift up, not to pull down. He seemed to find a way to walk beside people like Paul and not need to have the focus on him. So when you think about it, the gift of encouragement is a real blessing, especially when it is so easy to find discouragement in this world. It's so easy to find people to tell us why something can't be done instead of why it can. People who are all too willing to throw cold water on the warm fires of our hopes and dreams. We got enough of that. in this competitive world where it seems like we are overly blessed with people who like to tear down rather than build up, what a difference each of us can make if our intent is to encourage instead of discourage. We need people like Barnabas in our lives, and we need to play that role in the lives of others, especially as dads and as parents and as people who play a role in the lives of children and youth. Jesus himself was an encourager of people. He said, "Fear not, take heart, be of good cheer." He praised the poor widow when all she had was a penny to give at the temple. He praised John the Baptist when he was discouraged in prison. Jesus was a master of encouraging people that the rest of the world had written off. You know, every now and then, I'll be in a store where parents are reprimanding their children, and the words they use to correct their children are damaging and hurtful. Call children enough names and they'll become what you call them. Like all of us, children need positive motivation to grow and learn. They need that precious gift of encouragement. Now I want to close today with this little assignment. Who is it that you will make a point of encouraging this week? Make a mental note. Write it down. Who and then how? Maybe a note or a phone call. Will it be taking the time to do something memorable with your children or your grandchildren? Will it be taking the time to pull someone aside and just say, "I really appreciate you"? What an investment. Take the time. Invest yourself in the life of someone this week. Become their son of encouragement. Let's pray. Lord God, we know that there are more than enough critics in this world, that there are more than enough people who are eager to drag us down in order to lift themselves up. Keep us from playing that game, and help us to follow the lead of Barnabas, who knew the great secret of pouring his life into the life of others. Help us to be sons and daughters of encouragement. Help us to be moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and uncles and aunts and neighbors and friends who are eager to lift up and encourage the people you place around us. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.